Good morning. Looks like it's time to get started. Got a few announcements for everybody. I want to keep everybody aware of our prayer list. Stacy just informed me that Naoma fell this week on Thursday, so she is not at her best. She's probably hurting, so we need to keep her in our prayers. That's why they're not here today. So be sure to remember that in the prayers you do. Of course, we want to keep Ken and Sandy White in our prayers. Tamethia, we still have issues there with her stomach. Sherry Stevers has a ear infection problem. We also have other members of the church that have mentioned friends and family that are needing our prayers. Heather McCulley, Amber Horton, Byron Mitchell, Justin Wagner, Stan Mayberry. So let's keep all them in our prayers. Everybody in this room probably needs a prayer from time to time, so don't forget the rest of us. We all need to have those prayers as well. Keep this church body in your prayers. Don't forget about our shut-ins. Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evan Belt, Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie Keene. They're all at home and hopefully listening to us, and we wish them well. We do have a few birthdays and anniversaries coming up in July, a brand new month coming. It gets warmer, folks. Be prepared. The DeMarios are having an anniversary on the 1st, it says. I think it's 46. Blairs are having an anniversary on the 2nd, so we picked good days there. Yeah, like that. Krista Miller's having a birthday on the 2nd. Lee Merriweather, a birthday on the 6th. Naoma Simmons on the 14th. Clayton Williams on the 16th. And Marissa Miller on the 20th. So a busy month. So let's be sure to remember all those folks. Let's see, order of worship today. Got a few substitutions, and I'll go through this to make sure everybody's aware. Evangelism prayer today will be from David Morse. James Oliver's doing our song leading. Charles Wall has the opening prayer. The Lord's Supper and contributions will be with Jamie Poe and James McMillan. Our door greeters coming up for July are going to be the Volkerts. Scripture reading will be Brent Volkert today, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Doug will have our sermon. Closing prayer will be Josh Blair. And I think that pretty much sums that one up. We do have a potluck today, in case some of you didn't get the memo. Right after that potluck, we will have a men's meeting. So that's usually 12:30 to 1-ish. So everybody that can be there, we would appreciate the men to show up for our men's meeting. All right, is there any other announcements that we may have that we need to announce? All right, let's begin our service.
One for families enough for now. So everybody got one of these now? Well, let's take a look at it just for a minute. Contact card. Evangelism. That's what we're using. This is an evangelism tool. Let's see, we need to put the person's name, first and last name, their phone number, their email if we have it, their address. Some of these, you know, it says location for study. Well, that won't be filled in yet. Hopefully we did. But their religious background, if they have one, what their marital status is. Then there's the type. The type, that's pretty important. Why are we contacting these people? They're a new mover. They're a visitor. Community outreach. Door knocking. A referral. Benevolence. It could be other. They've got a sick family member, they're struggling with something. You know, they're in the hospital. You can write that in there, whatever that's about. And what do you want us to do for them? A compassion card because they've got a sick family member or something, or we need to send them a meal or something. If you have another idea of what that family could use, it says other. I think you can handwrite in whatever you want there. And then the rest of it, probably the people. So then there's so one of the things we've noticed on the cards that we're sending out, some of you are filling out these compassion cards, and we don't know who they're from. So, we need to know, put your name up here if you want, so we know where it come from. And then, I'm getting ready for that, Doug, it's at the bottom there. And look what it says on the bottom of the compassion card. Please make notes on the back of the card. So I turned in, I don't want to put people on the spot too much, but maybe I'm a spot putter on her. So on the back of the card, put a little bit about them, about what's going on in their life. So I turned in my newest employee. I turned in one of these and put her daughter, Saya, has her brain is got an enlargement on the back of it, and it's causing her some neurological problems. So I turned that in. She's my employee. I know her address. I send a paycheck. So I put that on there. So it says, she's my newest employee. Her daughter's in the hospital. I wrote all that stuff about her. She would like some prayers for her daughter. Now, really, I didn't get her permission for y'all to send letters, to send cards. And guess what?
I sent her a card.
Guess what? So, but I didn't get, so I want you to hear me out on this particular case. I did not get her permission to give her name. And you know what? She got a bunch of cards, and you know what she told me? Boy, I really appreciated that. Thank you so much. We get real uptight about that sometimes, and you need to just mellow out on that. It's really okay. You know, people used to get cards and letters all the time, and you know what? Since we don't that much personal handwritten letters and cards anymore, people notice and they appreciate it. So if you have not turned, I'm going to challenge you. That means you. You, me. Turn in one of these cards this week. I want you to think about that. Turn in one of these cards this next week. Someone in your life, I'm confident, if you look around, if we get off of this and, and we raise our heads up and look around us, probably somebody in our life needs some prayers, needs some encouragement, needs a meal, needs a visit, needs something. One thing we all need is Jesus, right? And that's what we're going to try to do, is put Jesus in people's life, give them some encouragement. And so I want you to, you've got the card. Now, we don't know where they're in your, it's in your hand. So take this card and fill it out this week and give it to Jamie. And we're going to try to encourage someone that you're concerned about. I know many of you have turned in a lot of these, and so some of you are doing a real good job about that, and that's fine, and that's great. I want us to get I want everyone to participate in this program because it's something you can do. It's something you can do. You can do it. God can use you if you become a willing vessel. God can use us. God can use me. He can use you. If you can't see well enough to write, if your hands don't work well enough to write, tell me. I'll take that response. Tell me who it is and what you want us to talk about. I'll turn in the card for you. I will personally do that. Call me, text me, pull me over to the side. I'll fill the card out for you. If you can't see well enough or if you can't write well enough, I don't write very well either, but I can do it. So I'll do it for you. I'll take that responsibility. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for each of our efforts that is being put forth to minister to our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our loved ones, those that we come in contact with, Father. Give us opportunities, Father. Help us to see the opportunities that you present us with, and help us not to be blind to those opportunities. Help us to see others, the needs that they have, the hurt that they're going through, Father, the encouragement they might need. Help us, Father, to be people who are concerned enough to act. That's what love is, an action, Father, and we want to show more love to our fellow neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our immediate family members and our extended family members, to our community. Father, we owe one another to be able to hear the name of Jesus and to know what he can do for our lives. We experienced that here. We've each of us have experienced the grace of God through Jesus here, and we don't want that to be a secret, Father. We want others to know about him and to know what he can do in their lives. There is a lot of suffering, Father, and we want to be people who can relieve some of that. Bless us as your people, Father. Help us to be bold. Help us to be loving. That's the most important thing, Father, we need is love, because love will conquer all. Help us to be those kind of people. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen.
I want to wish everybody a good morning, and if you're in our radio listening audience, we want to welcome you. And our first song this morning will be number 53, "At Calvary" is the name of the song, number 53. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so for liberty. At Calvary, by God's word, that's what sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul in glory turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so from liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my rapture so can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Our next song will be number 543. The name of the song is Redeemed. 543 is Redeemed.
Sweet is the song I'm singing today.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
Next song would be number 268. The name of that song is I Gave My Life for Thee. And then after this song, Brother Wall is going to lead our minds in prayer. So we're going to sing number 268, I Gave My Life for Thee, and then Brother Wall will lead our minds in prayer.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given? My Father's house of life, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, as thou left it all for me. I left it all for thee, as thou left I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell. Of all this agony to rescue thee from hell, I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne? Salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Father, if they will be all to get it, appoint you, Bless Doug, as leads evangelism here and goes to Ukraine to take over there for a few days, a few weeks. Pray your blessing to protect him. He won't be any of the bombing there that he can come back safe. Be with all of you, our prayers, Father, throughout the world and many crimes that have taken out in different nations, all these wars that's going on. That's so important to be achieved. Pray that you bless the Millers so they make their trip to Conway and back home. And say everybody's in heaven, Father. Be with us, get us, give us in, and bring us back tonight at 5 and this evening, this Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Bless us all for your sin in Christ's name. Amen.
Our next song is number 784, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? This will be the song that we sing before we take of the Lord's Supper. This is a song that we will sing to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Number 784, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? And then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He
Father, as we prepare our minds to take this Lord's Supper, let's keep in mind the agony and the pain and all that you went through to give it up for us. As we take this bread, we break it. It resembles the broken body that you was hanging on the cross, and all of the scars and the cuts and the pain that you took that day so that we could have a life with you in heaven and have forgiveness of our sins. It's amazing what you did. It's amazing what you went through. It's amazing what you gave up. And we do this in remembrance of that. So let's prepare our minds as we do that. Father, these things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue. Our Father in heaven, we would like to, at this time, ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents Christ's blood as he shed it on the cross. We know, Father, he went there and willingly gave up his life for each and every one of us so we'd have the opportunity to be with you in heaven. At this time, we'd like for you to bless this fruit of the vine and as it represents that great sacrifice. That's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we've been commanded to give as we've been prospered. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to give as we've been prospered, I pray that we can do it with a cheerful heart. Father, that it's things that you've blessed us with. It's not really ours. It all belongs to you. And as we've heard different people say over the years, and I heard a man say this week, said we can't outgive God. The more we give, the more we receive in blessings and different things. And Father, I just pray this morning that we'll give and we'll give in a way that's pleasing to you. These things we ask in your name and pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, that's page 1057. The Bible reads, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work."
If you would, please mark number 667 in your hymnal. "There is power in the blood." This is the invitation song, the song of encouragement after Brother Doug's lesson. Number 667, "There is power in the blood." And after you've marked that song, turn over to number 346. And the name of this song is "It Won't Be Very Long." It won't be very long. And this will be the song before Doug's lesson. And then after this song, Doug will give us a portion of God's word. Number 346, "It Won't Be Very Long."
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend, and then the dead in Christ from the beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the sky. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. The day is growing nigh. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom? Get ready for that day. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very long till here we cease to roam. It won't be very long till all the saints get home. And then with smiling face we'll walk the streets of gold and sing the Savior's praise, for saints are never old. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very, very long till Jesus shall appear. The day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom drum? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till first we lay down. It won't be very long till we receive a crown. And then we'll shout and sing with angels round the throne. And when we meet up there, we'll know if we are known. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. The day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom crown? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till earth shall pass away. It won't be very long till the works of men decay. But Jesus has prepared a happy dwelling place for all who look above and trust his matchless grace. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. The day is drawing near. Will you be ready then? Get ready for that day. It won't be very, very long.
Good morning. You know, they talk about this as the third habit, right? So remember what the first two habits were? The habits of blessing and the habits of eating. Now, those first two blessings were more of what we did for others and with others. But today what we're talking about is more of about listening to God as our relationship with God and how we listen to Him through His Word. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit speak to us through the Word of God. It keeps us from falling into sin, falling away from God. It helps to keep us informed about how we should walk with Him. It helps us to overcome fear and inaction. You know, sometimes when people become afraid that they might do something wrong or do it the wrong way, they don't act at all. Fear paralyzes. But what the Word of God does, it activates us. It promises us, assures us that God is there with us. The Word helps us to separate truth from untruth, fiction from knowledge, and honor from dishonor. And so there becomes a difference where the Bible also talks about the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides spirit and soul from, you know, apart. So it helps us to know and cuts deep within our hearts to affect our lives and to change us so that we can live and walk with God in every way that He wants us to. So prayerfully and quietly, let us ponder and meditate on the Word of God so it can speak to us. And, you know, sometimes I think it's, before we go into any further, I think it's important that we understand that I hear people today say, well, God spoke to me. And they're talking about that God spoke to them directly. And the Bible gives us that kind of communication from God is no longer what God does. Because the Bible tells us that the Word of God has been given to us to speak to us and to teach us and to train us. And God speaks to us through the Word of God. And that's what we're looking at today. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written." Now, of course, this is the Old Testament that he is talking about. And the book of the law is that Moses had just given the first five books of the Old Testament. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are called the books of the law, or the Pentateuch, in other words. But it says, this book of the law, he says, Joshua is saying that you should not leave it. You should not fall from it. And that he is to meditate. Now, again, there's misunderstandings here sometimes. Sometimes we think about meditation, right? People go like this and they cross their legs. I mean, I couldn't even do that. Okay, my legs won't cross like that, like you see people doing. But what it means is to think about, to dwell in, to focus in on what the Word of God is saying. And not just read through it, but to meditate on it, to think about what God is saying. And how often are we to do that? Day and night. It's kind of like what we're told about prayer, that we are to pray without ceasing. In other words, God's Word is to be in our hearts. In the Old Testament, they even said, put it in a box and put it on your foreheads, right? So you remember what it's saying. We need to know God's Word, and we need to focus in on it. And why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written. How are you going to know what God wants you to do if you don't read and study what the Word of God is saying? And so this habit of listening to God is so very, very important that we focus in on this and realize what God wants us to do. Because God does speak to us through His Word. He tells us exactly what He wants for us to do and how to live. He speaks to us so that we will know without a shadow of a doubt. He acts on our faithfully waiting on Him through His Spirit. God expects us to be faithful to Him and to wait on Him. Isn't that, to wait on God, I don't know about you, how are you for waiting? Are you a good waiter? I'm not serving tables. Are you a good person? Are you good at waiting? Or do you get impatient? If someone's 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you know, how do you feel about that? Well, you all know that on Thursday I head to Ukraine. Well, first of all, I head to Czech Republic where I'll preach the first Sunday that I'm out, and then I'll go on to Ukraine. and teach at a Bible camp there, Christian Bible camp. But one of the things when I was thinking about this this week is that I thought about time, because one of person that I was communicating with, she said that in texting back to me, she says, "I'll get back to you in 10 minutes. Well, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and so went on. And then I began to realize and remember from when I first went there, someone once told me, well, if someone says, "I'll be with you in a minute," it probably means 5 to 10 minutes. And if they said, "I'll see you in 5 minutes," that meant maybe a half hour. And 10 minutes is just like saying, "I'll see you sometime," or "I'll get with you sometime." And so different ideas of time. How are you waiting for God? Are you waiting for God? If you ask God for something, do you expect your answer right now? We do, don't we? Oftentimes. "Well, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why don't you hear me, dear God?" But we need to wait on God and wait for His word to work in our lives through His Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Wait on Him. Be patient for God to work in your lives, because God's time schedule is a whole lot different. Remember how many 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years to God. It tells us that in 2 Peter. In other words, time, God doesn't work on the same kind of timetable that you and I do. That doesn't mean He's going to wait 1,000 years to answer your prayer, because that would be a little late, right? But we need to wait on God. We need to be patient on God and wait on Him so that we can know what He does for us. We need to be comfortable in being quiet and alone with God and meditating on Him and His works. Are you comfortable in being alone? In our society today, with our phones and so many devices, sometimes it's hard for people to really understand about being quiet. I usually like to have an audiobook when I'm traveling down the road. That's something that I like to do because it helps to keep me alert and such. But sometimes I like it just to be quiet, not listen to the radio, not listen to a book, but just to be quiet and talk with God. I think driving down the road for me, and by the way, I don't close my eyes when I do that, okay? And I don't encourage you to do that, but I encourage you to take time to be with God. You can be with God if we're praying without ceasing, right? If we're thinking about it, or listen to the Bible. You can listen to the Bible as you drive, because most Bible apps now have where you can listen to the text that they can read to you, right? But you can meditate on what is being said by God. And it's okay to be alone and to be quiet and hear what God is saying to you through His word. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 15 and 16, it says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Again, this word meditate. I think sometimes we need to understand that we're not talking about oriental meditation. We're talking about godly meditation, where we take time to really think about what God is saying through His word to us. And meditate on your precepts. Of course, this again is talking about through the Old Testament, the precepts and the laws and so on. But we need to contemplate God's ways. Contemplate, think about it. What does God really want for us? As you know, I was exposed to COVID, as I talked to you about. You all probably got messages from me about that. And I did not say, I made a misunderstanding maybe, that I caught it. No, I didn't say that. I was exposed. And so one of the things that I thought about as I was dealing with this was that, what am I going to do and how am I going to do this? Because you see, I have a trip planned coming this week, a big trip, and I don't want to miss it. And so I began to thank God that He's going to make sure that this is not something that's working in my life, and prayed about it. And I think that God asks us to pray as if we've already received it. So I was thanking God that this was not so, and thanking God to help me to be receptive to whatever His will is. You know, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," right? And that became my part of my prayer too. God, I want to do what you want me to do. And I'm standing here today before you because I believe that God is answering that prayer. I haven't had one symptom, as far as I can tell, of anything that related to COVID whatsoever. God helps us through these things in these times. And I don't know, I wasn't, it's hard to wait, isn't it? It's hard to wait for an answer, because on about day three, I was thinking, God, I'd like to know. Do you like to know the answers now? We all do, I think, at times, that we want to know God's answers right now. But when we trust in God, and we delight in His Word, and we wait on Him, we wait on God's ways, that's so important in our communication and our relationship with God. And I like verse 16 so much. I will delight myself in your statutes. Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight in it? Is it a joy for you to read the Word of God? I tell you right now, one of the ways that I read the Bible is that I listen to it. And I've been in Samuel, in 2 Samuel, where David becomes king and so on. And I've gotten so enthralled. Usually I leave a chapter a day in that part of the Old Testament. And I've gotten so enthralled, I get so enthralled with it, I find myself listening to two or three chapters that, I listened to more than a chapter. Well, that's not too terrible, is it? But you see what I mean? You delight in it. I've heard that story. I've read those stories before. But to hear them again and be encouraged by how God worked in David's life and how He can work in mine, how He can work in yours lives. By the way, I want you to go back, when you have a chance, to go back and read Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. But it talks so much about our relationship to hearing God's Word and following God's Word. It's a great chapter for spiritual study, and I'd encourage you to go there and study there too. You see, if we want to practice generosity, giving, blessing, and hospitality, and we do that effectively, we need to have a deeper and closer and stronger relationship with God. Because when we have a closer relationship with God, then we can be more effective in blessing other people's, being hospitable to other people, thanking other people, encouraging other people. Because God encouraged us, we learn what it means for God to encourage us, and we can encourage other people when we have a stronger relationship with God. In Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17, you know by now that a lot of times I'll break these up to verse by verse, and it's good that way, and we're going to look back and look at it. But I think we want to read these verses all together. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Well, there's two choices. First of all, to be led by the Spirit of God, and to be led by the spirit of Satan. To be not receiving, not doing this right. And did not receive the spirit of bondage. But you see, we did not receive the spirit to bond as bondage of fear. We received it of love and self-discipline. You received the spirit, and as it says in the first white section you see here, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When you become a child of God, God's spirit is given to us to live within us. And this spirit of God, we know. And when we come before God, we can come before God and listen to Him as, you know what Abba means? Daddy. Or dearest God. Dearest Father. And that tenderness, that relationship we have with God. That means we can talk to God anytime we want. I will not. One of my children call. If I'm busy or something, I said, I will call you back. When can I call you back? But I want to talk to them. I don't want to let them go because I don't get as many calls from my kids that I'd like to have. I'd like to have more of those kind of calls. It just, you know, that's just the dad in me, I guess. And it's awful, especially wonderful when one of my grandkids call me. And that's even rare because they text a lot, and I like that too. But my point is that God is not going to refuse you when you go to talk to him if you're a faithful child of God. He doesn't say, well, no, I'm not going to hear your prayers today. He hears our prayers. He hears our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. God knows us. And he's going to listen to us and take out care to us. You see, he is our Abba. He is our daddy. My oldest daughter, who is, I guess you're not going to tell her I said this, so, you know, she's 47. And she wrote me, Daddy-o, how are you doing today? You know, she texted me that. You know, and I just kind of melt a little bit when that happens. I love my sons, but my daughters just melt my heart sometimes, you know what I mean? And anyway, she wrote that to me, and it just meant so much. God is our daddy. And it says the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Children of God. And this, what does that mean? That means we're heirs of God. That means we're joint heirs or co-heirs. Another translation says that we are co-heirs with Christ. That means we inherit the same thing that Jesus inherits. Isn't that amazing? We're co-heirs, we're equal heirs. That we are, as it says here, that we are joint heirs. In other words, Jesus gets heaven. We get heaven. He gets to be with God. We'll get to be with God. He gets heaven. He gets all the glories of God's kingdom. We get that too when we get there. He says, I want you to be with me. It's not like the older brother in the Old Testament. The older brother got everything, or mostly everything, the big share of everything. And then the other sons or daughters maybe got a little bit of what was left over. No, we get the same thing. We get the same blessings that God does because we are his children. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That doesn't mean we're going to be a king, but what it does mean is that we get to be in the kingdom. We get to share in the blessings that God has given to us. Now, this is the kind of God that wants to communicate with us through his word. This is what he wants to do. It says, you know, this is such a blessing that we can be glorified together. Now, we're going to suffer with him, and that's okay, because we know what's coming at the end, right? We know what's coming, that it's going to be a whole lot better than what we have right now. This third habit, therefore, will provide you with the nurture and the sustenance and accountability for the mission lifestyle. In other words, it's going to enable you. It's going to make it possible for you to do and carry out what God wants you to do. He doesn't just say, okay, go out. He doesn't say just, okay, you live the Christian life and not tell you how to do it. He tells us how to go. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to share. He tells us how to care because he's done it for us. So how do we go about then developing the habit of silence and solitude with God? Well, we set aside a designated time to connect with God. I think for everybody that's going to be different. Some people like me are a morning person, and so that's a good time for me to do this. You know, it's important, though. This is important not to let it go, because we need to do this each day. And I think I've told you about that in my daily Bible reading for a long time. I was even telling people you should read the Bible at least five times a day, five times a week. A couple years ago, I decided to change that and started doing every day. And I really felt ashamed that I was putting God in a box, in a basket, in a box, in a corner, that said, okay, God, you can have 5 days of my week that I'm going to listen to you, but not all of it. If you have time for 5 days a week, then you have time for 7 days a week. And it should not be a chore. It should be a blessing, something that fills you each day. And then maybe one time a week, even go deeper. Spend some time where you take a little bit longer, where you take a little bit deeper to really think about that meditating. Let people know that this is your time. Say, I have a commitment at that time. And they say, well, we want to do this or that with you. And they say, well, I can't. I've got a commitment that time, but I can, you know, later on or another time. See, a commitment, when you tell someone you've got a commitment, people honor commitments. They say, well, if you've got a commitment, then when else can we get together, right? But tell people you have a commitment for it. Make a commitment to do this so that you can have this time with God. And therefore, we need to eliminate distractions. This is not for a music time or anything else to distract you from your senses, from what you're doing. This is not, don't let that do. It's easy. Well, some people say, I'll listen to some music in the background or whatever. No, don't do that. No devotional books, just the Word of God. And I know people that sometimes like devotional books, and I'm not necessarily speaking against that. But what I want you to know is that there's a time maybe for devotional books, but there should be especially a time for the Word of God. My parents used to have a booklet. I'm trying to think of what it was called. I didn't even look it up, think about that until just now. But it was a little book that they opened in 7 days. It had, you know, a little devotional every day. And they were good, but there was only like one or two verses. Brothers and sisters, don't open your Bible and say, okay, I'm going to read a special verse today. Read one verse and say, that's my Bible study for today. That's not going to get it done. Not going to get it done for you. How would you like, okay, say, I'll talk to you once a day, but you only get one sentence. That's kind of limiting, isn't it? God wants us much more than that, and probably much more than what we're doing right now, no matter who we are. We need to find that quiet place. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, your door, pray to your Father who is seen in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Of course, this is talking about prayer, and I think that's good advice what Jesus gives us here. But it's for our relationship. It's communicating with God. That's what we're doing, right? We're praying to God. Well, we need to listen to God also. Find a comfortable position. Long as you don't go to sleep in it. You know, I do my reading in my recliner a lot of times because it's comfortable. But you can relax and not think about other things. We need to focus on the Word of God, what you are reading or listening, and let God into your mind and heart. Focus. Meditate. Think about it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6 says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The only way that we are going to know the spirit of truth, or what is truth and what is error, is if we get into the Word of God and read it and study it and live there. This is not about outcomes. It's strictly about getting closer to God. It's not about, you know, what you want to do, but focus on God. Pray to God about what you're reading. You read a passage. We started talking about this on Wednesday night a bit, and we were talking about praying through the Psalms. And I encourage you to join us. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 2 this coming Wednesday. Focus on becoming free of sin and temptation and finding purity and holiness in God. Would you read a passage that talks about, maybe you come across a passage that lists sins? I mean, what would be obvious to you to talk to God about? God, help me to walk away from this and not be a part of these sins that you're talking about. I want to be a part of your holiness, God. I want to be a part of your way. Let the Word of God speak to you and then speak back to God. See, the closer that you are to God, the easier it is to get closer to people and bring them into relationship with Christ. This is what we need to do. Get close to God, get close to them, so that we can learn to get closer to each other. What is your relationship with God? You have to decide that and look at it yourself in your open heart. Are you lost or are you saved? You see, there's not a gray area. There's not, I'm partly lost or I'm partly saved. We're either lost or we are saved. And when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can know that we are saved and right with God. But can we grow? This is one of the things that James McMillan has been talking about to us in class today. We can grow. We need to grow and keep on becoming. Can you be a better and stronger Christian than you are right now? Can you? I can. I think each of us can. Won't you come to Christ today and know that He's got a place for you? Grab that songbook and let's stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
there is power,
wonder working power in the blood.
Everybody for being here this morning. If you're in our listening audience, we want to thank you for listening with us. And if you have any questions, please contact the church building and somebody will answer your questions. Let's remember the announcements that Don DeMario gave this morning. Let's remember Naoma and Roe and Dustin in our prayers and all the other ones that Don has mentioned. And also I want to invite you back tonight at 5 o'clock for evening worship, and then on Wednesday at 6 o'clock for Wednesday Bible study.
James, I have one more thing I'd like to say.
And then Doug has one more thing he wants to say, and I want to invite everybody to the potluck after services.
At the Bible camp on July 11th, it'll be 11 o'clock in the morning here. We do a singing that is recorded and streamed online on Facebook. There's a post on the bulletin board back here that gives you details about that. But I really encourage you to listen to it. 400 Ukrainian Christians singing. A lot of the gospel songs that we sing, not in English, but in Ukrainian. But I think you would really benefit from it and be encouraged by it. Details are on the bulletin board.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we leave here today, please watch over and guide us. Help us to take your word out to the community and the others and help us to reach them and bring them into the fold. Lord, please watch over us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Instructor.